We sow things. So sow something into somebody else's life, especially if you've got a group of intercessors that need help in prayer. Get that Warrior's Cry book. Also, there's a couple of CDs back there called Praying Without Ceasing. And what that is, it's me praying to music, but I'm praying scripture according to Isaiah that says, what? So shall be my word. This is God talking, that goes forth out of my mouth, that it's going to go and accomplish what it's sent to do. It won't return unto me void. So we're praying scripture. We've had so many testimonies of people saying they pray those CDs in their house overnight. And we've heard divorces got stopped, children got healed and delivered. We've heard all kind of healings in physical bodies because of the word. The word works. Amen. It works. It's already anointed. Amen. So it's going to work. Praise God. No matter who says it. And you remember there was a donkey that God was going to use, but he's going to speak the word. So it's going to work. Amen. So please avail yourself. And again, if you don't have finances today, that's okay. Get something. Please. Amen. Send us money later. Or then if you don't have any money to send us later, pray for us and pray that you get money to send us later. The Bible said he gives seed to the sower. Amen. And bread for food. So be sure you get something. We've got a burning hot testimony from last night. Last night we had it was a rather long service, but that one usually is because I have so much I have to unload or unpack. Can I say it like that? Was any of it wasted? Did y'all feel like I should have shortened it? Or because most of the testimonies need to be heard. I mean, people, a lot of people are not experiencing those things, and I'm by no means saying that I'm the only one. There are many other people doing it, but we need to hear about it in the kingdom, to hear that God is in the midst of us and he's dealing with all of the things that are dividing us. Amen. And as I said before, last night when we broke the chains, you couldn't see them. There were people back there just beginning to weep, just when they even saw the chains come up. And that's a normal response. If I'm in an all Caucasian church, all Hispanic, all Asian, all African American, the same response happened. Why? Because those chains are powerful, and we know we were in Selma yesterday connected to them, but today we're not. Yeah. Amen? And we're not connected because we broke them. But when people see them, the shock, the trauma that's in them immediately gives a response. Amen? And see, as I said before, it's not an African-American message, although it is. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not an African message, although it is, but it touches all people groups. And if you don't believe me, I have a young lady that's going to come up and do a testimony. Come on up, sweetheart. Give her a hand as she comes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give her another hand for her courage. There you go. It's on.
Okay. It's red, Ron.
Yeah, we turned it on.
Do I have to see
that?
Okay.
There you go. It's okay, cry.
Last night, we were doing the reconciliation.
Yes. Reconciliation. Toward the end?
Yeah, toward the end.
Okay.
Toward the end, and you were talking about just different nations and different people that were standing for, and you said the Dutch, they came to James, that brought the place to Jamestown, and it was like, When we started that, I just felt like a heaviness on my chest, and it just like hurt. And then as we got to that part, it was like this, what I call a Holy Spirit like head slap moment, that all of a sudden it had been hidden, not hidden per se, but my father's family was Dutch, and I didn't know that.
Wow.
That had been kind of hidden away. And it wasn't really talked about. We talked about, you know, the Irish side of family and all that stuff, but never the Dutch side of family. And when that came, I was just like, oh my gosh, that's mine. That's mm-hmm. my family. And that we had a part in that, and that I didn't know. And I just was grieved. And then he said the French, and that my family name's French. That mm-hmm. was like another mm-hmm. way mm-hmm. of this, to be able to stand in that place and know that you can stand
yeah.
for that and have that, you know, just be able to stand and ask for forgiveness, to repent for that, and to be able to have that forgiveness given, and then just to see those chains and that curse and everything just broken off. By the end of the service, the heaviness was gone.
Come on. Amen. Come on, bless God for that. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Do we have any other? Let me give like a few minutes to anybody else. And real quick, if you got a testimony of what happened. Now, that's amazing because we hit the French. We hit, We hit the Dutch last night. And see, at different places, he had me bring up different groups. There was someone else in another state that said the same thing about the French. He said, well, he was standing there, a gentleman, packed house, and he said, you know, I was thinking, Caucasian man, and he said, I was thinking, none of that applies to me. He said, but when you hit the French, he said, my knees almost buckled because it was like, whoa, that's my people. Amen. So you see, this thing is connected to, so was connected to so many of us. And God is just so, loves us all so much that he wants to make sure we're free. Come on up, sir. Come on, bless God as he comes.
Well, I've gone to several churches here in Phoenix, I think six. And just the word you used, identification.
Repentance.
Uh-huh. Based on Daniel 9, I've asked for forgiveness as a white man.
Mm-hmm.
But also, my mother's father fought in the Civil War. I don't think that's possible, but it happened. My mother's father fought in the Civil War. He had a distant cousin whose name was Harriet Beecher Stowe. He fought on the side of the South. Mm-hmm. He hated his cousin with a passion. Mm-hmm. Sins of the group that you're part of.
Mm-hmm.
And repeatedly confessing the sins of the group you're a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just want to ask all of you who are African American to again forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive us for the horror, for the ungodliness, for the deep, deep, deep wrongs
mm-hmm.
we committed.
Mm-hmm.
Results on the fall over all of us.
Yeah.
And then you said something that's still digging in me. I went to four prisons every month and preached with two other men in my church, one African American.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say it better than I can say it, but it was something about the wounds just keep coming up from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And in prison, I see this. The wounds just keep rising.
Yeah.
To me, it was so significant last night, the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to have this. And it's amazing what God releases in the spirit realm through physical acts that seemingly are meaningless.
Right.
If you stop and think about it. But God, all the way through the Old Testament, especially, just he did it over and over
mm-hmm.
again. Elijah had the king throw down arrows
mm-hmm.
on the ground.
Yeah. Right.
And God uses that. And I was really blessed last night.
Amen. Amen. Come on, thank God for him. Excuse me, sir. Come back up for a moment. I want to say on behalf of African Americans, we accept your apology. And we're choosing to really release this thing and let it go. But we didn't respond properly all the time either. So we have to ask you to forgive us for retaliating the way we did. So if you'll forgive us.
I forgive you, and I almost feel guilty forgiving you because our wrongs were so high compared to any wrongs you came back with.
That's true.
But I thank God for that. And you know what? I didn't go into a church here in Selma with that I didn't get the response you're getting. Giving the right
name. Amen.
And it's just amazing. Amazing.
Come on, bless God for that. Amen. Only God can do these kind of miracles. Amen. Come here. I've got one more. This is going to be our last one. Amen.
I wasn't planning on doing this morning, but I kind of had a different experience last night. The Lord has shown me a lot of things about those that are chosen of the Lord and that are picked out to do something in particular. And it's not a fun place to be in. When you talk about rejection, Isaac was the one that was laying on the altar with a knife over him. And if there's any worse rejection than killing somebody, it just doesn't get much worse. I know the Lord gave me a vision once. I was in a vision, and I was inside the womb of a woman that was having an abortion, and I was feeling what that baby felt. And the only rejection I could think of worse than the feeling of that unborn baby is being rejected by God. And there's something that God wanted to do for everybody that was sent away that could only be done by someone that was willing to forgive.
Yeah.
Willing to stay with his father after watching his father try to kill him. Was willing to be obedient even to marrying the woman that the father picked out, even if he didn't pick out his own bride. That was after the father tried to kill him. He had to have somebody that was willing to do what God was willing to do, which was to kill his own son, be his own son, be forgive, and then marry whoever the father chose, which some of us aren't all that big of problems. And yet, that was there. And every time God has picked out somebody special, envy and jealousy comes up. And where envy is every evil thing.
Yeah.
And the only way to break it is forgiveness.
Amen.
The only way. And to go back and see why did God pick that person. Because if God hadn't worked that into the family tree of Jesus, would Jesus have been able to sit in the Garden of Gethsemane and say yes? He had to have a human will that was willing enough to love him enough to be killed for us.
Amen.
And you showed me an interesting thing about, I'm sorry, I'm not gender, I don't stand in front of people very often, but God wanted to stop at Obed-Edom's house. The oxen almost knocked him off, but God's in control. I mean, he was just down the road at the idolater's house, knocking the idols over. He was in control.
Amen.
He gave them all hemorrhoids. And what did they do? They sent him away. They didn't say, oh, this is a mightier God than any good God. We need to worship this God. No, they sent him away. But he stopped at
Obed-Edom.
Obed-Edom. My mouth's all dry. I got to get a drink of water.
Obed-Edom.
But he stopped there because he wanted to stop there. And he didn't knock any idols over because there weren't any there.
Amen.
He stopped there to bless them. So what David might have done out of fear and out of not knowing what else to do, and maybe he did think, well, at least they're not Israelites. God meant for good.
Amen.
God blessed them every minute he was there.
Come on, let's thank God for that. Thank you. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. God bless you. Come on, bless God for that. Amen. Praise God. Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about an orphan spirit. And there's a lot of teachings on this, and so I'm not saying mine is the only one or the best one or all of that. I'm just going to say when I teach it, it's effective. Because I think we make a mistake in the body of Christ and think, oh, I have the coin on whatever the topic is. No, God has the coin on whatever topic. And he has many manifestations and teachings on one subject. Think about love. You can teach like 400 million trillion messages on love, and they all be accurate. And they all be effective. And they all be life-changing. So please don't ever get into a space where you think yours is the only one, the best one, and he's giving it to me, and I'm protecting it, and it's mine. No, the Spirit says the same thing. Amen? And as he gives different manifestations of a message, our job is to receive the peace we need for us. Amen? So as I teach on this, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, you forgot this or you forgot. No, I just got the part I know that God wanted me to teach. Okay, so he might want you to teach something else. That's great. We receive that too. Amen. Because there's so many faces and facets of God that we cannot afford to put him in a box. And that's what tradition has done. That's what religion has done. It says he can only work through this. No. He's unlimited. His power, his manifestations, his anointings, and the way he healed and all, it's unlimited. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about, and by the way, thank you for the testimonies. They were great. We need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and how he's moving in people's lives. Come back here. Amen. And I've asked the young lady to write me up a testimony because I want to be able to take these testimonies to different cities and different places. We're gonna put them up on our website. As a matter of fact, when I go give my report in October, I'm going to say, here's what happened, you know, to the other state leaders so they can see that God is causing impact. Amen. How many warriors are in the house? Really? How many warriors, let me say it again, are in the house? Y'all must be a little bit sleepy. When you go to battle, you have to understand that we're in a war. Okay, first of all, you got to understand there's a fight going on. So when you do something, just let's talk about boxing. So if you're in a boxing match and you hit somebody, you know, their job, they're going to come trying to hit you and take you down. Their job is to knock you out, okay? So your job in that boxing arena should be to knock the enemy out, right? And so when he does things against you, also don't think it's strange because you're in a war. And so what happens to us a lot of times, we get a hit, something comes through and hit us, and we're like, oh, God. Where were you? What happened? And he's like, okay, you're in a war, honey. You gonna fight. You might have to take a hit every once in a while that you hear what I said. Because at the same time, you got to understand that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We got to understand that he's given us power and authority to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Yep, you might have got through on this one, but guess what? That's the last time. But and as a matter of fact, when you do this to me, I'm going to counter and I'm going to cause this to happen to you. Let me say it like this, because I don't think y'all are hearing me, but it's okay, because I'm preaching to the region this weekend. I know that. This is a regional message. So I'm speaking, I know, the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, and I can do that because Mark is here. I couldn't do it until Mark got here. But let me say it this way. You know, the Bible says one can chase a thousand. Y'all know that. So let's go with that mathematical, the way they're doing it with the math on this. So one can chase a thousand. That means two can put 10,000 to flight. Now listen to me. Four can get 100,000. Eight can get 1,000,000. 16 of us can get 10 million. 32 of us can get 100 million. 64 of us right in this room can get 1 billion. 128 of us can get 10 billion. 256 of us can get 100 billion. 512 of us can get 1 trillion. Oh, you didn't hear what I say. Let me review again. One can chase a thousand. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Four of us can get 100,000. Eight of us can get 1 million. 16 of us can get 10 million. 32 of us can get 100 million. 64 of us can get 1 billion. 128 of us can get 10 billion. 256 of us can get 100 billion. 512 of us can get 1 trillion. What's the matter with the body of Christ? The math is stacked up that we win every time. One can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to flight. What? Four of us can do 100,000. How many enemies are you keeping at bay with all this power, all this authority? The same power that raised Christ from the dead is working on the inside of you. Why aren't we using it? Why aren't we taking cities? Why aren't we taking states? Huh? So look, right here. If I sit right here with you, one can chase 1,000, 10,000, 100. We got a what? We got a whole bunch right here. Let me go look at my notes. We got 100,000 right here on the front row. Wait a minute. You didn't hear what I said. Right here. Add the next row to us, which means it'll be eight of us. So the eight of us, we can do 1 million. Let's jump across to the other room, other side of the room, add these four and the next four. That's 16 of us. So we can do 10 million. I'm just trying to let you know the power that's in the room, because sometimes we forget. So 32 of us, let's add everybody. Everybody in here right now, we can do 100 million. 100 million. Right here. I'll give it to you later on. 100 million right here. See, we've got to understand our power, understand our authority. I know I'm going to teach on the orphan spirit, but I have to lay that foundation because I have to let us know we're already winning. We're going to keep on winning. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. He came to what? Set the captive free. But he also came to triumph over the enemy and make a public display of him and show that he's not greater than the power of God. So our people in the kingdom, in the body of Christ, got to understand and rise up and say, I'm not walking around with my head bowed down anymore. Not when the creator of the universe and the worlds that's in him. That's my daddy. He created everything. Surely he can take care of me. Surely he can bring me out of the snares of the enemy. Sure he can stop and hold the enemy at bay. Well, I don't know, Reverend Preacher, because them devils are big. And they try to, last night, let me tell you what they have. And then they start rehearsing all the stuff the enemy did. Well, you know, he did this to my baby. Little Willie and them, he took them out last night. Bertha and them had, you know, some stuff going on in their house. And, you know, Sharon's still sick. She's been sick about 20 years. Let me tell you what's wrong with her. Then they start rehearsing. You know, her back went out. Then her liver started messing up. Then it was her kidney. We don't know, Lord. We just hope she's going to live. And they start rehearsing that stuff. Then people act like it's badges. you know, I got attacked yesterday. And like, it's a badge. I've been sick 20 years. It's like, okay, well, and if you would listen to them, one will say, yeah, I got, girl, my knee and my shoulder. I think my arthritis. Why are you calling it your arthritis? That ain't mine. I don't have that. Well, you know, my allergy. I don't have no allergies. Don't live at my house. They're not mine. Do you hear what I'm saying? And then this one will say, well, you know, I was sick for 20 years. And this one will say, but I was sick 21 years. It becomes a competition. I mean, listen to people. And there's just, you know, our family been broke a lot of years. Mama didn't have nothing. Daddy didn't have nothing. Lord, didn't nobody have nothing. Great-grandmama didn't have nothing. You know, we had some land, they took it from us. We don't have nothing. Don't nobody. Well, we got less than you have. Y'all don't have nothing. We don't have nothing, nothing. And it's like a badge. And I'm saying, what are y'all saying when we got the same power that raised Christ from the dead? The fight is already fixed. He's given what? He's given us power over the enemy and authority over the enemy. How dare you come in here and rehearse all the stuff he's doing to you? You can say, oh yeah, he had the bus break down last night, but this morning, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes. This morning, the mechanics were right there fixing it, came to us, came to our hotel to pick us up to go get it done. It's being fixed right now. And I look at it like this. That's a sign, Bishop, that we right on track, baby. We did some stuff in Selma last night where the enemy tried to throw another punch. And we said, since you hit us like that, we say we want 1,000 souls. We want all our time back. We want money for you messing with us that way. Who do you think you are? We belong to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. You hit me, you're going to have to play double, triple. You're going to have to give it all back. Give me my time that I wasted standing on the side of the street. Give me my money that was waiting. Oh, give me all my stuff back. Oh, you think you hit me. You think you got me. Oh, it was a signpost to say you're right on, you're right on, you're right on. To say it worked, it worked, it worked. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. Why? Because of our God. Because of our daddy. Don't mess with us. You know, you done mess. Oh, you done mess with the wrong folk now. See, you can mess with them other people. Don't mess with us. Because we realize and understand who we are. Amen. The victory is ours. We will prevail. We will prevail. We are prevailing. We are winning. We are taking territory. We are taking cities. We are taking states and regions and territories. We are leaving deposits. We are raising up great men and women of God to take their rightful place. We are helping bring our portion to each state we go to. Oh, I kind of need some witnesses. Yeah. And we thank God for the new bus. Just because you messed with that old one, we want a brand new one. So you should have left us alone. Don't mess with us. We want a brand new one. Amen. Debt-free, brand new, with mechanics on our side. I don't know the last time I paid for an oil change. I got mechanics that love us so much. I don't even pay for anything for my cars. They say, oh, it's Dr. Battle. What do you need? They're Asians. Make sure you take care of Dr. Battle. Why am I saying that? I'm saying this is the way you can live. This is the way God wants us to live. Favor, 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 favor. They come at Dr. Battle, you need this, you need that, you need that. That's my other car, my old car. You need this, you need this. But we will fix it. Thank you. I love you. I'll bring y'all some donuts next week. Amen. Amen. I'm here to talk about an orphan spirit. And as I said before, there are many teachings on this. And so I don't think everybody has a part. So when I teach it, this is just how God gave it to me. Now you might teach it another way. That's wonderful. And I pray the people you teach it to get delivered too. Amen. Amen. So deliverance from an orphan spirit. Praise God. Let me do something with the offering. Can I do this? When you hear, can I add something to it, Bishop? When you hear God speak something in your life that you know deliverance is needed or you need a victory, and come then give your offering because you're going to sow into that particular word. Amen? Versus just coming, giving on. You're going to sow. If I start talking about healing and you need healing, you're about you, that's your offering time. You come up and give an offering. I'm sowing into my healing. Here's the basket. Does that make sense? Because you're going to sow into what you need from God today. He said, well, you're trying to make me buy something. No, I'm trying to work biblical economics in your life. Amen? That's all I'm trying to do. Because you were going to give anyway. So give into what you need. Amen? So deliverance. Let's talk about that for a moment. You know, deliverance with a lot of people, a lot of churches mean a whole lot of things. You know, I've been to Mount Sinai Holy Baptist Deliverance Undenominational Church. What? I kid you not. We had to go walk around the building to read the rest of the name of the church. Mount Sinai Holy Baptist Undenominational Trinity of the Unity Deliverance Set You Free Church Incorporated. Whoa, I said, y'all need 2 pages just for that name, didn't you? Amen. I'm not making fun of I am making fun because I've been all of those. Amen. So I can say stuff like that. So some people, deliverance means different things. So I'm going to just kind of tell you a little bit what we're talking about when we talk about deliverance. You ever been to a church in the old days and somebody like in the service would like start manifesting, start like growling or jumping or something? They might not have growled because you've been enough. Okay, and then all of a sudden, you see like a football team jump up and they run over there and go boom and knock them down. Then everybody starts hollering at them. Ah, come out. Ah, you demon kind of. Ah. And it's like they start manifesting. But they're trying to call this spirit out. Come out. Look like they start hitting people. Oh, come out. Slinging oil. Throw it. I'm saying, I used to do it that way too. I didn't know any better. I was like right in there. You know, they talk. After I watched them a few times, I said, I can holler like that. Come here. Let me in. Cut out! And the person with the spirit would be looking at you like this. You know, that's after they growled. Yeah. And then that thing going back down. You over there. Oh, I was perspiring like my whole face, head. It looked like I worked out. And that person got right on up and would sit there. It's like, you ain't do nothing. And then I look over them later, they go like that. Say, I'm still here. And I'm like, I'm going to get you. And that's something, you see that, you're like, whoa, God, what the world was that? Okay, well, that's the way we used to do deliverance, and that's the way we were taught, you know, how to do deliverance. Oh, and bless the person's heart, though. They get up off the floor, the whole, like, okay, it's a 200-member congregation. They get up off the floor trying to put their wig back on, straighten up their face, try to get their clothes back on, and then they go sit there knowing that everybody in the church is looking at them. Talk about shame, Bishop. And they sit up there trying to act normal the rest of the service. And okay, after service, you don't really want to talk to them. Because you're kind of scared. You don't know, well, what happened to you? I didn't know you had that. We're not going to be having lunch today. You know, the Lord just changed my schedule. I was supposed to go to lunch with you. We're not going to be going today. Because you're like freaking out saying, what was that? Well, that's old style deliverance. The way we do deliverance in my church, again, not saying it's the only way, the best way, and all that. It just works for us. We do the Doris Wagner style the deliverance, where a person fills out the 25-page document that tells all about their lives, and it's all very confidential. And then we have a deliverance team, that they meet with. And they go and sit with them for 2 or 3 hours. That's on a short one. And and it's about 3 ministers that sit there and just pray for them. And they'll look at, they would have done something called a battle plan, not because it's my name, but that's what they called it. And they will look at it and say, okay, here are entry points, okay, where we see demonic forces could come in. For example, let's use a school building as an example. And I'm still talking about deliverance, so I'm just kind of explaining, because we got to understand what we're doing, okay, what I'm talking about. So can you imagine going down in a school, going down a hallway, and you know how they have the different school, the different classrooms on every side. So you walk down the first classroom door, and it swings open, and say you were molested as a child. Well, that door opened, and so some spirits from that molestation comes into you, okay? And you keep on walking. You're walking through life. And then a door opened over here. Say you were in a terrible accident, and you almost got killed. So there's a trauma connected to that. So those spirits are in you. So you're walking through life, and then say you get to high school, or all of a sudden, and in high school, you were the person that was like overweight or something. I'm making it up. Okay. Or you were the skinny one. And they used to like say, oh, here comes skinny mini. Blah, blah, you know, all of that. You know how kids can be so cruel. Well, rejection just came in. You following me? So you got a molestation. You got, what was the second thing I said? Trauma. Now you got rejection. Oh, by the way, your dad wasn't in your life, so you feel rejection from men. And it just on. My point is, on and on as you go through life, you're picking up and you're collecting all this stuff. And because there are spirits connected to all of this stuff. And then and to describe deliverance, it's the act of freeing from restraint, freeing somebody from being captive. It's like rescuing them, okay? So you're with me. So you got all this stuff that's been caught up in your life. What deliverance, and one of my jobs in the kingdom is to take the spookiness out of deliverance. Because you say deliverance, people start walking away from you. What? Ooh. And expecting Alfred Hitchcock to show up any minute. Y'all remember him? No, that's not deliverance. Here's deliverance. Say, for example, all through my life, I had this hand issue. And my hands just would jump. When I was a little girl, first when I went to kindergarten, my hand would jump. And they would be pointing at me laughing. That's a little girl with a jumping hand. All through life, everybody can see it. I'm in middle school. They're like, that girl is weird over there. You know, nobody's going to be friends with the jumping hand girl. She's going to hit you. So now I'm in college. It's a distraction. Everybody can see my hand jumping. Everybody know it's not normal, not natural. And then all of a sudden, I come and Bishop back there says, I come to his church and start going to church here. So I'm in meetings at the church. I'm in intercessor. I'm an intercessor too. I'm in the prayer meeting. That hand is getting on everybody's nerves. Okay, they trying to bind it, do all this stuff. But Bishop says, daughter, come here. I know how to stop your hand from jumping. Would you like me to help you? What am I going to say? Yes! I've had this trumpet head all my life, and I don't know what to do with it. Help me, somebody. And he says, okay, it's a spiritual thing, and there's some things going on in your life. Check this out. That everybody can see. Hello. And even sometimes it's hidden. But the jumping head, you can see that. And he comes up to me and he said, daughter, you are being made whole. I bind that spirit of the jumping head. Come out of her now. Boom. My hand. Look how big my muscle is from that jumping off. Now I got to get this. No, I'm kidding. But my hand. I'm now delivered. I'm healed. I can use my hand like normal. That's deliverance. There are things in our lives that keep manifesting, that keep stopping us from going to the next place that God's called us to go to. Sometimes we don't know what it is, but it's a matter of deliverance. And you don't need the whole big deliverance team. You can go get some self-deliverance. Go look in the mirror. God, get it out of me, whatever it is. Just spend time with him. But sometimes you need bigger help. And that's where the deliverance team come in. So let me give you a scripture. 1 John 3:8 says this. Jesus, it says, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why? That he may destroy the works of the devil. Luke 4:18-19 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to what? Heal the brokenhearted. That's deliverance. To proclaim liberty to the captives. That's deliverance. The recovery of sight to the blind. That's deliverance. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's deliverance. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, saying you don't have to be bound anymore. That's deliverance. Mark 1:39 says this, and he who was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and he went through their synagogues throughout all of Galilee, preaching and doing what? And casting out demons. Jesus casted out demons everywhere he went. You want some scripture? Let me give you a bunch of them. He did it in all of Galilee. Matthew 4:23-24. He did it at Peter's house. Matthew 8:14-17. On the seashores. Matthew 8:28-33. Outside. Matthew 9:32-33. Everywhere. Matthew 10:7-8. Great multitudes. Matthew 12:15-22. The coastlines. Matthew 15. On and on. I have lots of tons of scriptures that talks about Jesus and him operating in deliverance and helping people get free. Amen? Mark 16:17 says this, and these signs shall follow those who what? Believe. Are there any believers in the house? Well, here's what it says. The first thing you're going to do, in my name, you'll cast out demons. Then it says, and they will speak with new tongues. There's a story with the transformation videos. Mark knows this one, that George Otis did. And he, the pastor in Guatemala, they had a very stronghold of a demonic force. I forgot what they called the thing. And they even had him sitting up in a chair, the idol that they worship. He's sitting up in the chair, I'm going to say it like this, and he looked like one of the American celebrities that used to wear a glove. Anybody got any ideas of who that was? He was sitting up there with sunglasses on, a mini mocha or somebody like that. That was his name. And the whole area worshipped him. And he had his gloves on and said, he's wooden. And they would all worship him. See, in this country, we don't get it. We don't get it. You go to China, go to Burma, Myanmar, Thailand, some of those other places, they openly worship idols. When I was in China, I saw Buddha every way you could think of. Buddha was ivory. Buddha was a man. Buddha was a woman. He was made of gold. I saw him made of wood. I saw all this stuff. And the people would come and lay in before him and worship him. And they brought him food and they brought him money. I said, y'all tricking everybody because y'all eating that food and y'all keeping that money. Buddha couldn't do it. That's why I stay with the nail place. It's like, okay, I want to see him eat that. That big old grapefruit. Okay. Anyway, that's like a private thing for me. But anyway, so in that, in Guatemala, I'm telling the story about casting out demons. Okay, in my name. He said, what, first you're going to, those to believe, you're going to cast out demons. So the guy in that area, drunkenness was big. Everybody was like drunks, alcoholics, really bad. Okay, and the story, there's a lot to the story, but I just want to tell you this part. He gets saved one night. Jesus meets him in the alleyway. He's drunk as a skunk. How does a skunk drink? You know, some of the stuff we say, how does that, I got to look that up. What is he drinking, his own perfume? That'll make you drunk. Anyway, he's drunk as a skunk and he's walking. Jesus shows up and says, okay, you need to change your life, give your life to me. He sobers up instantly. The very next thing, he hadn't been to seminary. He hadn't been to the school of theology. He hadn't even read a scripture, don't even know the word of God. The very next thing he does, God says, go over there and cast a demon out of so-and-so. He don't even know what a demon is. He goes and says, come out. And he starts casting out demons right there. So we got our 10 steps to deliverance, 12 steps to speaking in tongues, one step to hallelujah. He instantly starts doing this. You with me? Then he starts speaking in tongues. So what am I saying? All of us have the ability to begin to call demons out and cast them out and tell them to stop. Just cover yourself with the blood. You don't have to have all the knowledge and all that. Just don't be trying to go on no mountain like I saw in Idaho. Idaho, I told some people the other night, they got them that the deepest gorge in North America, deeper than the Grand Canyon, and it's called Hell's Gate and Hell's Canyon. Right there in Idaho. Then it's got the seven mountains. They call them the seven devil mountains. I'm telling you what not to do. Don't try to do that. You're not ready. Okay? Seven devil mountains. But we're not giving him glory right now. We're giving God glory. Amen? So there's 106 scriptures related to demons. Does everybody understand? Are we on the same page? Okay. These people over here are in shock. Some of y'all are saying yes. But we're on the same page. Okay. All right. The Dutch people are and the French people are. Praise God. Malachi 4:6 says this. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their father. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Why am I bringing this up? Remember last night I told you that those young men that left Abraham's house. Yeah. He sent them away. And as I said last night, everybody makes errors. None of us are infallible. Amen? We love our father Abraham. Amen? But we're going to talk about what happened because we need to bring that forward. Amen? And I'm happy that stuff like that's in the Bible lest we start making demigods of people. You know? Oh, she's my muckety-muckety. Just follow her one day. She's going to probably lie, drink, and cuss. And then lift up holy hands. Amen. Get repent from it all and lift up holy hands. See, we got to get this stuff right in us, okay? But anyway, so they left Abraham, and I'm sure they felt orphaned. I don't have a daddy now. I don't have a dad. When I was five years old, my dad and mom divorced. I didn't have a daddy then. Okay? I was hurt. I love my dad. I was a daddy's girl. Okay, you with me? But I became orphan. I didn't nobody know it. I didn't even know it. Why? Because I didn't have my daddy in my life. So they became orphans. There's a lot of African American, Hispanic, Caucasian, Asian people in this earth, in this city, in this state, in this region, in this territory that are walking around with orphan spirits and don't even know it. Well, watch this. Even if it didn't happen in the family, it happened in the church. Uh-oh, watch out now. You don't have to shout me down, but it's okay. An orphan is someone who's been abandoned by their primary caregiver. The kingdom of God is based on relationship. And the central theme of the kingdom is what? Our relationship, father to son, father to children. Timothy, Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1 and 2. He said, Timothy, my true son in the faith. So God is looking for, and in the book you'll see there's a whole bunch of statistics around how many orphans are in the world today. That number keeps growing. I can't keep up with it because it's so big. But when you become orphan, the spirit of fear comes in. A lot of times you get afraid because you're not protected, you're not covered. A spirit of anger because sometimes you'll get mad. Okay, why don't I have a father? And everybody else, hatred, bitterness will come in, and of course, abandonment will come in. Abraham, when he did what he did, all of these things came into these sons. So in the world, an orphan is somebody that's left without a parent. Are y'all with me? Mother or father. But guess what? In the church, we got the same thing. What are you saying, lady? I'm saying that in the church, leaders are spiritual fathers, or should be spiritual fathers and mothers. Leaders should protect their sons and their daughters and help them, help confirm them, affirm them, and help them grow and go. But we've been having the opposite happen in the kingdom. Leaders and the people we thought were supposed to be spiritual fathers, they demand us instead of admonishing us. Well, I don't know. I believe every city and state got a little trace of this somewhere. They berate us instead of beseeching us. Are you with me? They're busy with church life instead of the life inside of the people, caring for the people. So the people begin to feel orphaned because, you know, I can't even talk to my pastor. And then maybe you're a busy pastor that you got like, you know, thousands of people, but there should be somebody along the way that could care for them. Elder Ted was here last night. That's my executive pastor. I'm an apostle. I travel now. So I can't mother and father everybody like I need to. Elder Ted is our executive pastor. Then we've got a layer of elders. Then we've got a layer of leaders that the people can touch. Amen? So what's been happening? Watch this, Bishop. What's been happening? Those that we've been putting ourselves under and submitting to the care of, thinking that's going to be my spiritual father and mother and take care of me, why don't get mad at my language, end up pimping me. Use me and abuse me. Use my gifting, my anointings to further their kingdom, not the kingdom of God. I know I'm talking and saying some truth here because it's in every city, it's in every state, it's in every region. But God is saying it's time out for this. Where are the true fathers and mothers that will nurture the body of Christ so our family can stop being so dysfunctional and we can have strong leaders, strong members that can go out, yeah, and cast out demons, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, and not be sick in spirit themselves. It's going to take spiritual mothers and fathers that will really lay their lives down for the children. Jesus said it like this, greater works shall you do. Because I'm going to the Father. The other day I was asking the Lord about some things and people leaving and moving around. God says to Miss, don't worry about that. He said if they left better than when they came to you, they left better off, you did your job. Did you hear what I said? He said if they left better, but when they came, they were looking all cross-eyed and limping and dragging. God said if they left tall and strong, educated, got what they needed, they're in the right place in the spirit. You've done your job. That goes with business. That goes with ministry. That goes in any area of your life of leadership with your kids. If they left you and they're better off since they went while they were with you, you've done your job. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I said. So God is saying, I need fathers. But he's saying before that, I need to help the people that has an orphan spirit. Now, we're going to do something. Everybody close your eyes. Oh, Rabba Shanda, Rabba Maka. Robo Bo Shanda, Rabba Makosha. Oh, Chikibaka, Shanda, Rabba Maka. If you've ever been hurt by a leader in the body of Christ, everybody keep your eyes closed. I'm going to ask that you stand. You've ever been hurt? Yeah, that's by a leader. Look at that. In the body of Christ. I want you to stand. Ever been abused or used by a leader in the body of Christ? Forgotten, misrepresented, rejected by a leader in the body of Christ. I'm standing. Actually, I want you to look at me. The ones that are up, I'm actually kneeling. I want to say to you that on behalf of every leader in the body of Christ that's ever hurt you, that's ever misused you, that ever took advantage of you, I want to say I'm sorry. We did not understand you. We perverted your gifting, your anointing, your grace. We didn't even say you had an anointing. Not only did we use you, we used your family. Your entire family, we used and abused them. And I want to say, we are sorry for what we did. We didn't understand. Our mind was somewhere else. We were thinking selfishly. So please, forgive us for all the trauma, all the hurt, all the pain that we may have caused you. And I would like to ask that you would accept our forgiveness. Give me the mic, please. Give me the mic. Mark, I'm going to ask you to come up here. And I'm going to ask this gentleman to come up here and receive this forgiveness. Meaning, yes, sir. You're going to reply. You're going to accept it on behalf of the state and of the region. You're going to accept it on behalf of the state and on the region.
Father, on behalf of the state of Alabama, and Father, for the leaders that are in the state who have hurt and abused, and who, as Gordon McDonald said in his book, Order in Private World, Father, that they use people's stepping stones to get to where they need to be. So, Father, as Vanessa knelt and stood in the gap on our behalf, Father, we receive that forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We receive that acknowledgement of what's been done. Father, for we've not had true fathers and true mothers. We've had people who have lorded over and dominated and used us for their own advantage. And so, Father, not only do we receive that, Father, I declare, decree right now, Father, that we are set free. From that. Father, that we do not dwell in the past. And we step forward into the future. Father, a future that is full of freedom. And Father, I ask, Father, as I have a spiritual father that is a true spiritual father. Father, I pray that in the state of Alabama, Father, that we will raise up spiritual fathers, Father, that will, one, watch for our soul, and Father, two, serve our destiny and not their destiny.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Father, you raise these up. And Father, it's not a gender thing for women can be fathers in the spirit.
That's right.
But Father, it's truly about the sons and daughters. It's not about the fathers. For as my father would say, that if you succeeded, I have succeeded.
Amen.
But if you failed, I failed.
Amen.
And if you failed, we failed.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we get up together and start over again.
Amen.
So, Father, we receive this today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And Father, we thank you for just succeeding. Thank you for breathing upon us. Receive this region, Lord, the prayer. We thank you for reconciliation that's taking place. We thank you, God, for father, son, and daughter relationships being restored. The father's image being restored back to the children again. We thank you, Father. And we are bearers of your image, and we thank you, Father, for allowing us to see your face so that we can know what we're supposed to look like. And we thank you right now, God, that because of relationship being restored, we're able to see again. We won't be running here and there trying to figure out how we're supposed to look, what we're supposed to be like. We have that connection now. We receive that in this region. That we don't have to weather the cosmetics of worldliness, because we don't know what we're supposed to be like. We don't have to join this group or that group, trying to figure out where we fit in.
Right.
Church to church, all over town, trying to find out. We know that because we're connected with you, we're like Moses, Lord, who can take the veil off with unshamed face. We can see ourselves like we're supposed to be. We bless and honor you now. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on, bless God for that. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Praise God. Characteristics of a person with an orphan spirit. Number one, they hate authority. They hate authority. You're wondering why you can't get people to do certain things. They hate authority. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want. Now, here's the ones that really get you. They'll be sitting in the pew going like this. And walk right out of here and do something opposite. Jesus said it like this. Your mouth is saying one thing. It says you're with me, but your heart is far from me. So they have their fear of us. They hate authority. They distrust leaders. Because, see, they were hurt so bad the last time. And now you're coming and saying, oh, I want to help lead you somewhere. They're the leader. I'm hurt. I can't let you lead me. They have a general lack of direction from their lives. As our brother said it, they're going from church to church to church to church. They have a problem putting roots down. Because they're like, okay, well, that's enough of this one because they're getting too close to me. Let me move on to another one. And okay, this one is trying to make me work some and make me do some more stuff in the kingdom. I got to go now. Watch out. You just heard that right here. in Selma. Amen. They have an inability to make key and strategic decisions. A double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. Today, I'm going to do this. Tomorrow, I'm going to do this. Oh, I just got this vision to start a church, Bishop. And then you say, okay, I'm going to help you and support you. Start a church, and then 3 weeks later they said, well, you know, I'm going to be an evangelist and I'm going to start doing tent revivals. You said, okay, well, you're going to do that. We've got evangelist people that can help you, and your mind's thinking they're not going to be a pastor and start a church. Now they're evangelist. Then the next thing they do is hand you a card that says, I'm Prophet Joe Willie. And I'm like, oh my God, what is wrong? What are you going to do for real? That's what an orphan spirit does. You with me? They have a problem with having intimacy. They draw back. They won't let you be so close in their lives. Now, some of that's good because you don't need to let everybody know everything. Because a lot of y'all are Josephs and you don't need your brothers throwing you in the pit and selling you. But anyway, slip that in. See that? Gotta be quick. But anyway, but they'll keep you about out here. And sometimes you even know where they live. Where do you live? Up over there. Over where? Over there in that community. Why? I don't want you close to me. Well, guess what? I'm just trying to be your friend. Where do you work? At a job? Where's your job located? Downtown. They're like that. They have a sense that they're going to get rejected. They walk into a room. I call it a self-rejection, inherited rejection, generational rejection. They come into a room, all of us in the room, and they'll start saying, if these two start talking, they'll say, they talking about me. Baby, we don't even know your name. What you talking about? We don't even know you. What are you saying? Or all of them are talking about me. Okay. Why'd you look at me like that? I'm rejected. I come in, I'm instantly rejected. And it's all in my head. No one's rejecting you. It's in your head. It's like, well, why did they look at my shoes like that? Oh, now they're rejecting your shoes? Okay, for real? Okay, let me keep moving because I got to go somewhere else. They have a gnawing sense of failure. Oh, I'm not going to start this because it ain't going to work anyway. I would always fail. Nothing I'm going to do is working. Now, they may not say that to you, but their actions will do it. I'm getting ready to start a new business, you know, on this day, Bishop, and it's going to have this, that, and the other, and swirling stuff. And wow, I did all the background research. I found out there's a market for this. It'll sell like hotcakes, and I'm going to do it. And inside, they're saying, but it's going to fail. You don't have that kind of education. You've never been in that market. God told you to do this, but he doesn't know that you've got a long list of failures behind you, and this will be just another one. Okay? They're always looking for the bigger, better thing. I heard Prophet Joe Jr. is going to be on the south side of town. I'm getting ready to go over there. Then the next week, I'm going to the Set You Free Deliverance conference down in Montgomery, because I heard, boy, they some powerful prophets in it. And they just got all of this backlog of prophecy that they're doing nothing with. And you prophesy something over, oh, yeah, I know that. The Lord said that about 3 years ago. Well, what you doing about it? Well, yes, the Lord is saying you're going to do that. They told me that about 10 years ago. And hubba, bubba, bubba, shata, and shake on you and say, yeah, I received that. Well, it's been 10 years. I asked my church something the other day. I said, I've been gone for 3 weeks. What have you done with yourself? Ooh. They still love me. Because that's the mama in me that challenges them. That's the daddy in me that says, you cannot stay the same and be around me. You cannot. You cannot. You got to change something. Why? Because we're under such a heavy anointing in the Spirit of God and the Word of God. It changes you. What are you doing? They're always looking for a word from God. God, I'm looking for a word. You got to, can you prophesy over me? You got a word? Come on, I think you got a word. Shake, shake, shake. Give me a word. Well, the reason they're not getting a lot of words is because they haven't acted on the last 10 they got. Uh-oh, watch out. I done went to parenting now. They haven't done nothing with it. Why you need another word? You got 400 backlog that you haven't done. And one was just saying, come to church. Oh, they need recognition. You got to stand them up and parade them around everybody. Oh, my God. You know, like the little kids, like my little spiritual grandbaby back there. He started tying his shoes. We're like, whoa, you're tying your shoe. Man, you're going to get the Tie Your Shoe Award. Because you're the best shoe tire that we have at Newgate right now. That's what they need. They need a lot of, you know. He said, you open the door. Oh, my goodness, look how you opened that door. Wasn't that great? I couldn't have swung it like that. They need a lot of recognition. They need a lot of pats on the head. They're easily offended. Do you know people you just don't even want to talk to? Because they're going to be offended. Just you say, how are you doing? Why are you asking me how I'm doing? It's like, forget it. Say, oh, good morning. What's so good about it? I like this. I think I want one of these. Okay. I can lean on that. I don't keep y'all me from y'all. No, I don't want that. Anyway, they have an attitude that I told you that nobody's going to tell me what to do. They also have a survivalist mentality. I got to keep everything I got. I can't let nothing be lost because I got to survive and there's nobody to take care of me. I'm on my own. But here's what the scriptures say. Oh, by the way, they're unteachable. They know everything. You try to teach them something. Well, here, you know, the Lord is saying, yeah, I know that. You know, that's just like the 5-year-old kids. So come here, John, let me, I know. They get the, oh, I know demon. They get about 5 or 6. I know. Let me button your shirt. No, I know. I know how to do it. And then they button the shirt. It's all crooked and twisted up. Got a big old bulge in the front. And you're like, did you do your shirt? Uh-huh. I know. I just let them alone. I learned how to quit fighting that kind of stuff. Just like, okay, you're going to go to church, school with a crooked shirt on. They're going to know you did it. But they know they don't have a teachable spirit. You can't tell me anything. I already know stuff. And then, guess what? They, and this is my last one because there's more, but I need to do something else. They'll try to reject you before you reject them. It's like, I'm not talking to you. I already rejected you. So now when you reject me, it ain't going to matter because I got you first. Right? They already rejected you, so I don't care what you say about me. You don't mean nothing. I rejected you first. Da, 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 da. Finally. This is huge. They're never, this is where I'm going to end up with the characteristics. They're never really comfortable when an anointed father or mother is around. You don't have to be their father. You don't have to be their spiritual mother, but they are nervous. They get them spirits in them get to moving and shaking. They'll be like, okay, I'll be back. Don't you want a bottle of water? I'll go get it. They're constantly getting away from you because the anointing destroys the yoke. And you don't even have to say anything to them. It's just the anointing you carry as a father and as a mother. It begins to convict them. It begins to tell them that, okay, you know you're not lined up right. You know you're not doing what's necessary for your spiritual growth. You know you're dysfunctional, but we don't even have to say it. It's the anointing that tells you. I like it. It's funny. I watch people squirm around me. It's like, it's okay. I'll grab their hand. Come here, let me see your hand. And I'll say, oh, hey, it's okay. And then their peace will come over them. And they'll be, hey, like I did you last night. Now you're comfortable with me. The peace. Shalom, shalom. Amen. Amen. Come on, bless God for that. All right, so here we go. The Bible says this in Romans 8:15, Galatians 4:5, but you have received the spirit of adoption. God is saying, Jesus knew we would suffer with doubt along with belonging to the family of God, but he knew doubt, unbelief, and that spirit, that orphan spirit would try to attach itself to us. But he said, nope, you're going to have, I'm your father. God is saying, I'm your father. And you will receive, once we got saved, we received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what? Abba, Father. Here's the problem. A lot of people are having issues calling him as Abba, Father, because their earthly father or their church spiritual father did not father them properly. But God is saying, I'm turning this thing around. I'm going to teach you how to be a child again. I'm going to teach you how to have childlike faith. I'm going to teach you and restore to you those qualities I put in you to be a child and understand me as a parent. But I'm also going to put godly, anointed, loving, caring leaders in your life that will truly father you and truly mother you and nurture you to your next place in the kingdom. God's saying, I'm breaking off this old manipulation stuff. I'm breaking off spirits of Jezebel that have controlled you and manipulated you and tried to trick you into doing things for. I'm breaking this off. This city, Selma, and this region, Alabama, he says, I'm breaking that spirit off of the people, off of the land, and out of this territory so that I can have my children truly come back to me and truly receive me as a father, and they will have godly fathers and mothers who will love them, who will nurture them, who will exalt them, who will teach and train them, who will also release them. Because the other side of the coin is this. The fathers want to hold on to the children. And that's why you got children in your house that are too old that need to be gone on somewhere. You know, they preaching like you and waving their hands and folk falling out. And they're going on in ministry. Yeah, they can stay at home, but they need to go and come back. Go and come. They don't need to be sitting there being my cheerleader. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. I'm sneaking in another song. Oh, let me tell you a story. And we're going to end it like this. There was a story. I'm not going to tell that story. Let's stand on our feet. I'm going to pray for us to break this orphan spirit from over us. If you haven't had a chance to give, you can still give. And you can give during this. But I'm going to stop this session. We're going to take about a 2-minute break, and then I'm going to finish releasing the 5 mantles. Okay? I said, okay, because these 5 mantles you need. Okay? So praise God. We're going to just pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we thank you that you want us healed and you want us delivered. So Father, that spirit, that orphan spirit that somehow attached itself to us in our travels, God, we say in the name that's above every name, that spirit has to be broken from over us individually as well as corporately. I bind an orphan spirit and I command it to come out of us in the name of Jesus. Come out of our hearts. Come out of our minds. Come out of our spirits. Come out of us in the name of Jesus. Your power is broken, 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 broken from over us. We will no longer think like orphans, Lord. We bind anger and trauma and we cast them out of us as well. Bitterness, roots of bitterness, hidden bitterness. We say we pull up the roots of bitterness and we say we cast them out in the name of Jesus. And we come against every angry devil in us God, we say we won't be angry. That hidden anger that tries to stay and lie dormant, that's pretending that it's gone, that when something comes up, we go to cussing and fussing. I bind that thing up right now and cast it out of us in the name of Jesus. We will not walk with anger. We will not keep bitterness. We will not hang on to it. I bind it up, cast it out. Oh, I didn't forget you. Fear. I bind the spirit of fear that would try to operate in us, keeping us close in, afraid to be with leaders, afraid to be with people, afraid of rejection. We bind you, fear. We cast you out in the name that's above every name. We say you will not hold on to us any longer. We break it, break it, break it, break it. We break, we break, we break your power, fear. All self-rejection, inherited rejection, we say perceived rejection, your power is broken. We bind you up. We cast you out of us in the name of Jesus. Come out of our minds. Come out of our hearts. Come out of our understanding. We will not operate the same. We will not feel like we're rejected any longer. God said He welcomes us as the beloved. You must go, 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 go. Abandonment. I haven't forgot about you. You are bound in the name of Jesus. You must leave us now. All up and out of our bellies, up and out of our spleens. We say all abandonment. You must go, 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 go. You are bound. We cast you out. In the name of Jesus. And we say every spirit, you must go to the place that Jesus has appointed you to go. You can't stay here. You can't go stay in this neighborhood. You cannot stay in this territory or region. You must go to the place that Jesus has appointed you to go. And every place in us where any of those spirits left, we say we fill ourselves back up with the love of Jesus. We fill ourselves up with the anointing and the power of God. There won't be any empty houses in us. That our house have been clean swept, but now the power of God, the anointing of God, the grace of God is filling us up. And Lord, we thank you for freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, give him a shout. Come on, praise him. Come on, give him a praise. Come on, give him a shout. Come on, give him a shout. We're no longer orphans. Abba, begin to cry out to him. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. You're our Father, God. Hallelujah. You're our God. Thank you, God. We're no longer orphans. In Jesus' name. I'm going to give us about a 2-minute break. Come right back in, and I'm going to release these 5 mantles. And we're going to close out. Is that okay? Is that okay? You can continue to still bring your offerings. Ho rabashanda.